I feel better. I don't know if you feel better or not, but I... Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this nation, what you're doing. This is the day, Lord, you're bringing visitation to this land spiritually. And God, we pray you'd use us. You're the one, the destined, that we be alive now for your purpose and plan. So we ask, Lord, you would speak to us today. Bring your encouragement in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to ask you some questions. This is kind of a survey, and I'm going to ask you to make some declarations with raised hands this morning. Number one here. How many of you are saved? That's good. All right. That's good. How many of you believe beyond any doubt that it's the greatest and most important thing that ever happened to you? That's good. How many of you love God? You're doing pretty well so far. All right. How many of you believe that there's a heaven and a hell? How many believe you're going to heaven? All right. Man, you got them up faster on that one. All right. Now, if you believe that getting saved was the greatest and most important thing that ever happened to you, then do you believe that the greatest and most important thing that could happen to anyone is getting saved? That it's the same for everyone? All right. And if that's true, then do you believe that it's important, the conclusion of this thing is that it's important for us as a church and that it should be a priority in making an effort to reach out to the lost and hurting? Can I see your hands? All right. There's a board up over here today that said, love compelled him, love compels us. On the bottom is part of the scripture verse from Luke 14:23. It's going to be hard for you to read from the other side of the room or in the back, but it says, Jesus said, compel them to come that my house may be filled. At the top it says, Summer Harvest 2007. And that we're challenging you and the Holy Spirit to bring 2,007 visitors to Countryside Christian Center this summer. And every time a visitor comes, we're going to take off a square, and that we're going to see a great harvest. I want to share with you today 7 reasons why you must reach out to others. I want to tell you before I forget, right now in the back, we have these cards. They're very simple, but they really work. Just got a picture of the church on the front. It's got the ministries on the back. It tells our address, and it just says you're cordially invited. And it's just really easy. Talk to people and just say, hey, man, I go to church. You would love it there. I know. It's just not like the church you grew up in or like I grew up in, that's for sure. And I just want to give this to you. And you can ask them, do you have kids? And talk to them about the kids' ministry or what if they're married, single, whatever, there's something going on. We've got over 100 ministries in the church. And it's just so easy to get it in their hands. I carry them in my billfold, carry them in the car. I just look for opportunities all the time, wherever I am. You know, in restaurants, you know. Now, don't just leave this as the tip, you know. Put some money around it, you know. But those are on the way out. You can get them. We have some copies of 4 Spiritual Laws. And it's just so simple and so easy to use. Now, we don't want you to use these to just give them to everybody. This is just a witnessing tool for people that you might have the opportunity to lead to the Lord. That you get familiar with this, and it's so easy to share with people and pray with them and then, you know, give them this as they've made a decision for the Lord, or maybe they're really close. But I just don't want them every place, on windows of cars, all over the shopping mall, you know. But so if you would, please, those are in the back. You can get either one of those on your way out this morning. So I want to share with you 7 reasons why you must reach out to others. The first one is that, because it was the last thing that Jesus told us to do before he ascended into heaven. I've said many times, even as I shared about witnessing, I mean, think, the last thing Jesus said on earth, do you think that wasn't important? We would even pay attention to a dying man in the last words that, even if he was a non-Christian guy, we would stop and listen and see what he has to say. that it would be important. But how much more for Jesus? We know it as the Great Commission, the most important commission. I said, it's not the great suggestion. It's a commission. It's given to us. It was so important that the Lord shared it five times, once in every gospel and in the book of Acts. Five times. We get it. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore. It means go in that authority. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you, and I'll be with you always, even unto the end of this age. He wasn't just doing it to hear himself talk. He didn't just say that time. He said to the end of the age, he meant his whole church age. He'll be with us. How many know he's with us still? That commission has never changed. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every being, every creature. We have a responsibility to take the gospel to those near and far. Luke 24:45-49, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said unto them, it's written, and it moved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, remission of sin, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, this Jesus as was speaking. He said, behold, I send the promise, again in Luke, he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but you wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He promised the Holy Spirit would come. In John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, he said unto them, again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, start where you're planted. In Clearwater, in Safety Harbor, in Osmar, in Tarpon Springs, wherever you are, in Tampa Bay, in Florida, the uttermost parts of the earth. God's called us to be a witness wherever we are. So the Lord's given us a commission. We better take it seriously. I mean, he is the Lord. Is that right? He is the Lord. Number two is that bringing salvation is God's number one priority. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's why he came. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's his heart. So that's the priority. He was talking about someone that was, you know, more interested in material things and all the wealth they had and making provision to keep it and store it up. And he said, what's a man profited by all this? If he gains the whole world and loses his soul, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What's a soul worth? So are you telling me all the material stuff and all the things that we do and we'd have time to do is more important than a soul? Huh? In Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, and likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. There's more joy in heaven over just one person that gets saved. And then again, he said, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over just one sinner gets saved. It stops heaven. All the angels begin to rejoice. It doesn't say that about anything else. It doesn't say it about people getting married. It doesn't say it about people having babies. It doesn't say it about people getting healed. It doesn't say it about people getting a new job, getting a promotion, getting a raise, getting a new car, getting a new swimming pool, getting a new flat screen TV. It says all the angels stop. Just takes one. Just one person. All the angels begin to praise God for joy. Because they see what? The value of a soul has more value than anything. It's the priority. Number three. Because heaven and hell are real. You said you believed in heaven and hell. They're real. Revelation 20 and verse 15. We know there's hell and there's a lake of fire. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Matthew 13, 42. Jesus talked about heaven and hell. He says it's a place of torment, pain, gnashing of teeth. It's eternal. Talking about heaven, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come and receive you to myself so you can be where I am, that you can be with me there. Now, why would he tell us the truth about heaven and lie about hell? He's truth. So sometimes it's easier for people, oh yeah, I believe in heaven, but then do you believe? No, I don't believe there's a hell. So Jesus lied here, but he spoke the truth here. Let me see again. How many of you believe in heaven and hell? How many believe you're going to heaven? You know, but how can we go and just not care about anybody else? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he said, these things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants us to have absolute assurance that we know, that we know, that we know. He said, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, He'll raise you up. How many know that you got that Spirit in you one of these days? I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm going to see Him face to face. And all the trials and hassles and pressures and what we feel, you know, in this world and those things and the weights on our shoulders and just our flesh itself and all that we go through. And man, no more pain, no more weight, all lifted off of us. And we're going to see Him face to face as He says, come into my joy forever. It's going to be better. It's going to be greater. Whatever your imagination is, you put it out there as far as you can get it, and you're not even close to what God has for us. I'm going. I got my ticket. How about you? I got it. How can I not share that? And number four, that there is an urgency. You know, we admitted. You said it. You voted. I think you were telling the truth. You said you believed these were the latter days and we're getting close to the coming of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you think that would change the way we live? But there's an urgency. He said, don't say that there are 4 months and then the harvest is going to be. He says, but lift up your eyes. Look right now on the fields. They're white. They're ready for harvest. He's saying, look around you. Look at all the people. Look at all the needy people, perished, lost, don't have a clue. Rich and poor. My wife and I just talk. We see people sometime, I mean, really, just drive like complete idiots. I'm not talking about just speeding. I mean, I'm talking about idiots. And I've got a feeling a lot of them don't know Jesus. I mean, they're living out there on their edge, getting ready to go to hell, and they don't have a clue. You ever think about it? We watched a man die in a car accident last week. He's in a convertible. Watched him put the sheet over his head. Gone. I pray to God he knew the Lord. You know, I mean... How many, probably not a lot, but how many of you were raised on a farm? Let me see. The rest of us, you're all city slickers in here. you know, but let me see again. You're raised on a farm. All right. Oh, I got some more hands that time. You wanted to join in, I guess. All right. Anyway, you know, obviously I wasn't raised on a farm, but I used to go to my grandfather's farm, and he used to have me work there and help him out. And it was, you know, I enjoyed going. It was definitely a change, a routine. And I know one thing, that when it was harvest time, everybody was working in the field. When the harvest was ready, you get it. It's not the time to sit on the front porch and suck on a long blade of grass, you know, and just lay back. And when it's harvest time, you get it. Before a storm came, the wind crushed it to the ground, or rain crushed it to the ground, or, you know, you get it right now while it's there. And everybody's working out there to get it done. Get it in the granary, whatever it is, wheat, corn. That's what Jesus is saying. Just look on the harvest. It's ready right now. You got to get it now. There's an urgency that we get this thing done. So it's a season. And yet the enemy tries to tell us, you know, it's just so hard to win people to Jesus. Well, let's take a look at this.
Lord, I know you want me to share my faith, God. And Lord, you know, I hear people talking about divine appointments all the time, but that never happens to me. But God, if you want me to share my faith, then Lord, you're going to have to give me opportunities too. Thanks. Hello.
Hi, this is Stefan. I'm calling to confirm your 9 a.m. appointment.
Yeah, what's this appointment for?
It's for 9 a.m.
Right, I got that. Where's this appointment at?
You'll see.
I don't remember making a 9 o'clock appointment. I don't remember having an assistant. Maybe all my hard work has paid off and the bosses are giving me somebody to help. About time. Hello?
Kevin, it's Stefan again. Listen, you really need to hurry, or you're going to be late for your appointment.
What appointment?
The one at 9 a.m.
Whatever. Now I'm going to be late for work. Great.
Oh, hey, Kevin, man.
Hey.
How you doing?
How's it going, man? Good to see you.
I'm not doing too good, man. My life's a disaster.
Really?
I'm sorry. Hey, I was wondering about this being a Christian thing. I was wondering if you had time right now to maybe share with me a little bit on how to do all that.
9 o'clock. Christian, right. That is a great question, and I can get back to you on that. I've got to actually get to work, but we'll get together later. Is that cool?
Yeah, sure, I guess, man.
All right, great, man. Hey, have a great day.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye. What is going on, man? Hello?
So, how'd it go?
How'd what go?
Your appointment.
I missed it.
Actually, you didn't. Mr. Emerald Rowe, right?
My neighbor? That was my appointment? Wait, what's going on here? All right, who exactly are you? How did you get my number? And who made you my assistant?
Think big.
I'm not going to talk about my neighbor's weight. That's just rude.
No. He's the man upstairs.
Mr. Jones on the 5th floor?
No, higher up than that.
Oh, Mr. Lowry on 11. He loves me.
Never mind. Here's the deal. You ask for appointments, you got them. Don't let them pass you by.
Is this about my prayer?
That's right. So here we go. Your next appointment is at 9:30. Let's do better this time.
All right, got it. Who is it with?
You'll see.
You'll see.
Rick-a-doo-doo. Hey, Kevy, drove my Chevy to the levee.
Ryan, I got an appointment coming up. I really
question
have time for this.
Who's better at their job, me or you?
Look, I'm not going to
answer.
Wrong.
Me.
Look, I'm really busy, Ryan, all right?
Kev, that's Mr. Wachowski to you. Well, when I get this promotion and everything. You know, I heard a song on the radio this morning, and it reminded me of our present situation. I'm stealing your promotion because your substandard worth ethic is...
Hey! The only thing substandard around here is you, okay?
Kevin, don't be silly. I'm rubber, and you're glue. Everything bounces off me and sticks to you.
I do not have time for this, man. I do not want to deal with a little weasel like you, okay? So just go. 9:30. Oh, come on. Him? You got to be kidding me. He is a complete... Look at him. Oh.
You know, Kevin, when I get this promotion, I'm going to need a personal assistant. So I was wondering, how are you at making coffee? Cream and 2 lumps of sugar when you get a chance.
Yeah, I'll give you 2 lumps of something, pal.
You know, Kevin, if you can't learn to control your anger will control you.
Okay, that's it, Ryan. Let me tell you something, okay? Nobody around here likes working with you. For one, you constantly have coffee breath. Everybody thinks you're the most annoying person here. If we could avoid you completely, we would. We don't like you. We all hate you.
So you're saying I have coffee breath?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm not answering that. No way. Nope. Hello?
Well, I could see him coming to church soon.
Really?
No.
But you don't understand. I hate that guy. All right?
Just
you don't have to
you,
put
Kevin.
Up with him every day.
Just to remind you, Kevin, these appointments are being monitored for quality assurance. Let me assure you that that was not quality.
That guy is impossible to deal with.
Aren't you glad someone didn't think that you were impossible?
Yeah. But this is hard, man. I need help.
Help? Yeah. Well, why didn't you say so? Look, on the next one, put your Bluetooth in, and I will guide you through it.
All right. Well, who's next?
You have a 10 o'clock with Mr. Pink Slip.
My boss? No way. No, wait. Hey, let's cancel that one.
We're sorry, but there's a 24-hour cancellation policy.
Great. Are you serious?
No.
Oh, so then I can cancel it?
No.
I really don't want to witness to my boss.
Trust me, you do. And here he comes.
No!
Is everything all right, Mr.
Yes!
Small?
Yes! Everything's great.
Good.
How are you?
Okay, I know that this is difficult, but just say what I say, and don't panic.
Don't panic.
No, no, no.
Excuse me?
No, no, you don't panic.
No, you don't panic.
No.
Who's panicking?
No, shh, just relax, just breathe.
Just breathe?
Just breathe.
Woosah. Woosa.
Mr. Small?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we breathing?
Lamaze. My wife, she's pregnant. We're going to Lamaze class. I was just practicing.
Congratulations. My wife's actually pregnant, too. Where do you take the classes?
At my church, actually. There's a lady there that teaches them, which is cool because we go to the class and then she also talks about how, since this is our first kid, we need to put our faith in God about everything. And then after the class, we just jump over to the sanctuary for church service.
Huh. That's funny. My wife and I have been looking for classes, too. Do you think there's room for us to join? I mean, we've never really had a whole lot of luck with the church thing, but maybe it'd be good for us.
Yeah, that'd be great. Classes start at 6, and, you know, about the whole
you
church
know, I've
service.
I've got to make a meeting, so I've got to run. Thank you.
Well, yeah, wait. Hold on.
I'll see you Wednesday.
But I didn't get a chance to tell you about Jesus.
Hey, Kevin.
I don't want to hear it, all right? I blew it.
What are you talking about?
I didn't lead him to Christ. I failed.
You did exactly what you were supposed to do. You were yourself. You shared from your heart. You planted a seed.
I did?
Yes. Not everyone sees the fruit right away.
Some plant, some water, and some reap.
Okay, but what do I do about my boss?
You pray. You ask God to continue the work that he started, and you look for more opportunities.
All right, got it. Hey, listen, Stefan, I've got to go. I got a couple more appointments I need to go make.
Wait, with who? I don't have that schedule.
Well, I got to go make things right with Ryan before our staff meeting, and then got to go find my neighbor and invite him over for dinner.
Ooh, dinner. What are we eating?
I'm sorry, but dinner reservations require a 24-hour notice.
These guys do a great job writing these skits and doing them, don't they? So he does owe $25, is that right, for the cell phone? Someone said his cell phone rang. I want you to know that it really is easier to bring people to Christ than you might imagine. People say yes or no. They say I'm interested, or you know, sometimes they're not ready. I mean, look at your own life. There were times where, with a lot of us, you know, there were seeds that were being sowed there, and then God in right time brought it forth. And I want you, a lot of us, we look at our lives. And, you know, if we can come to Christ, like anybody can come to Christ. So the Lord is going to arrange those things for you. The first opportunity that I had to bring someone to the Lord, I didn't even know that it happened. And I was a new Christian. I just got plugged into Calvary Temple. I was really in Fort Wayne. I was a young Christian. I wasn't in the ministry yet. There was a group of young people that we were kind of hanging with, and I was starting to bring them to church. And there was it was by an art school in Fort Wayne, and one of the guys there, his name was Mike Bishop, and I'd never really spent any time with Mike or had a chance really even share my testimony or what was going on. Man, he probably didn't even know I was a Christian. And I stopped by his apartment one night, and he answered the door, and I talked to him for a few minutes, and then on the way out, I remember I just stopped at the door, and I started sharing my testimony with him, and he listened to me, and he was always kind of quiet. He never said anything at all, and I told him how I came to Christ, what happened in my life, and he never responded, just kind of, you know, looked at me, and so I just, you know, turned and left. So I'm about 2 weeks later, and I said, "Hey, Mike, how you doing?" He says, "Oh, man, really great. Praise the Lord." I went, "What'd you say?" He said, I said, "Praise the Lord." I said, when did you become a Christian?" He said, "Well, when you shared with me 2 weeks ago." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "Why didn't you say something?" He said, "Well, you didn't ask me anything." And, you know, he's full-time missionary and has been for many years in Ecuador. Brenda, who sings in the choir, came up to me this morning, and she was just telling the story, and that how a neighbor came to her while she was working in her garden outside or whatever, and just neighbor came over and said, "Now, where do you go to church? Where is your church? How do you get there? I mean, it's really hard to witness. You know, just comes to her out of nowhere and wants to know where she goes to church and asks how to get there." So there are people that are ready. I want you to know that the number one lie of the enemy about witnesses, they're not interested. Don't do it. They're not interested. They're going to be offended. A recent Gallup poll showed that there are over 66 million people in America that are unchurched. And that of that 66 million, 34 million in this poll said that they would come to church if someone invited them. 34 million people. So there are people out there. And that 80% of the converts that come to Christ Jesus, maybe you're looking in the wrong place. They're from family, your relatives, friends, co-workers, neighbors, acquaintances, people that you have a relationship with. Jesus said, chapter 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. There's an urgency. We're living in the latter days. I believe that with all my heart, that we can see it all around us. Let's wake up. And that God has destined for you to be alive now. Why? So we can enjoy the luxuries of life that other generations have? I don't think that's why you're alive. That God has arranged for you to be alive. I believe that those that run the last laps of the race, you know, they're the strongest runners. It's not the time to lay back. God has a purpose for your life. There's such a joy in watching other people come to the Lord Jesus. And it's going to come where it's done. But it's not that hard. Next thing I want to share is that there's nothing that brings greater joy or means more to God or to us as individuals than seeing someone come to the Lord and be saved. Paul said, "For what's our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Isn't it you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? You're our glory, you're our joy." So for Paul, what brought him joy, it was not the stuff. It wasn't the thrills and chills of life. But the greatest joy was watching people come to the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing the day was going to come when the Lord returned that they were going to be there. What's more important? What's going to bring greater joy? When your daughter gets saved, your son, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister? I mean, what's more important? What actually is going to bring more joy to you and mean more than anything else when you see them over on the other side? I mean, what is really going to matter in that day? And you know, everybody around us, there's somebody's son. There's somebody's daughter. I shared with you that when Deborah and I were coming back from Colorado on the plane and there was a girl that was sitting by the window. She hadn't said anything to us at all. And we were just talking about, you know, ministry and things of the Lord. And I guess she overheard us. We weren't talking loud. And that when she said, I don't understand this book. Can you tell me what this is about? Remember me telling you that? And maybe you weren't here when I talked about it. And I said, well, what is that? And I looked at it and she handed it to me. And it was Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It was about, you know, this two demons talking back and forth. He's talking to his nephew from his uncle, telling him how to deceive this guy to keep him away from getting saved. And then she said, I don't understand it all. And then as we started talking to her, found out that she actually had been in our church when she was 13, ran away from home. And she saw a vision. She says, I told her I was a pastor of country. She said, she didn't even live here anymore. She lives in Wyoming or somewhere, or Utah. And she said, I've been in that church. When I was 13, I ran away from home, went to your church. I saw a vision of an angel in that church. I've never forgotten it. And my mother started going to that church, and she was involved in addictions, and she got saved and got set free, and she's a Christian counselor now. And you know, then I put it together. She'd been praying for her daughter. Do you understand? When we start praying for people and planting those seeds, God sets it up. He has divine appointments. We're not even looking to talk to this lady. I mean, she hands me a book and gives me a Christian book and says, what does this mean? You know, so what do you say? I'm sorry, I don't have time right now. God sets it up. There's things happening all around us. And that for that mother, when she said, she prayed, she asked Christ to come in her heart. She said, I've been married 3 times. She said, in the marriage and now, I've only been married for a year and a half. It's just not working. And I said, you're going to tell your mother what happened in your life. She's going to be so excited when you tell her that you gave your heart to Jesus. And I said, I want you to tell her what's going on in your marriage. She says, man, I'm just ashamed. I don't want her to know that, you know, I'm failing again already. I said, when you tell your mother you got saved and you ask her for help, you know, she's a counselor. She is going to be so excited. She's going to be ecstatic about what the Lord's doing in your life. Believe me, she is going to do everything she can to stand with you and to help you. Do you understand? And so, you know, what's the greatest thing to that mother is watching her daughter to come to Jesus Christ. Greater than anything. The same with us. And so even though she wasn't my daughter or related to me, it was somebody's daughter, and man, it meant everything. And being part of that, I mean, that made our whole trip. You know, it was just so exciting to be a part of what God is doing. So that there's nothing to be greater joy. When you go over on the other side, And there's people there because you've had a part of sharing in that process of bringing them to the Lord. What is really going to matter except that? What's going to matter? Tell me, what's more important? We make time for all this stuff, but we're embarrassed to share that? Man, the most important thing in our whole life. We talk about all this other stuff. That's, you know, just we think so neat and so important. You know, stupid things. You know, we say, you know, well, man, you know, it was really exciting. I meant Spiro Agnew. Well, that's really cool. You know, or we say, man, you know what happened? What happened? I says, last week, I went, you know who I met in the airport and I talked to? Who was that? Joe Namath. Really? You know, Joe Namath, just like we are. Spiro Agnew, just like we are. You know, whoever it is, you know. Keith Richardson's of the Rolling Stone, man. He needs Jesus, you know. I don't care who they are. Superstars, personalities, whoever it may be. They're just people that are sinners that need the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not some super, super celebrity. And yet we talk to them when we run into somebody. You know, guess who I ran into in the airport, man? Hulk Hogan. Wow. You know, listen, do you understand? You met Jesus. You met Jesus. You met the creator of the universe. And you're so excited you met Hulk Hogan in the airport or wherever or at the coffee thing. And yet you met the creator of the universe and we don't want to tell anybody about it. What is wrong there? I mean, come on, let's think for a moment. Paul says, you're our hope, you're our joy. It's the only thing that's going to matter in that day. All these other things are going to be nothing, wood, hay, and stubble. Except what happened is it goes to eternity. Number six, we're all needed and we're all called. There's not an exception. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel in the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. They were scattered abroad, sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. We're all given the Great Commission. The Lord had compassion on people. He said, lift up your eyes, look on the harvest, look at the people, look at the hurting, look at the people around you. And you know, who do you think he was talking to when he said, you know, they're not very many laborers. I want you to pray for God to send forth laborers in the harvest. So what do we say? Oh, let me see if I can think of somebody to pray for to send into the harvest. God's saying, how about you? How about you? The Lord's called every one of us. Jesus said that he saw them as sheep with no shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that died for us to demonstrate his love. The good shepherd that died for his sheep. His heart is to what? Gather. To protect. To bring eternal life. To gather his sheep. Written 700 years ago in Isaiah, it spoke of Jesus Christ and said, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his heart. How many of you are saved and how many of you have the Holy Spirit in your life? And you shall receive the Spirit of God, he said, and you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses. So we have the Spirit of God in us. That means, you know, we have his Spirit, we have his heart, we have his life. And the Lord's heart is to love people, to reach out to people, to have the shepherd's heart, to gather, to care about people, that we can be just so blind and go right by people and we don't even pay any attention to them. His heart was always in tune. He had compassion on them. He was aware of them. And in Luke 11:23, listen to this. It's convicting. He that's not with me is against me. He that does not gather, scattering. So today, you know, we're either gathering or we're scattering. The Lord's called us to gather sheep. That's his heart. That's why he came. And here's the last thing I want to share today is that it's love that compelled him. And it's his love that compels us. It's not just an obligation. You know, we want to, you know, we just, I have to do this thing. I hate it. It's for love's sake. When you love somebody, you know, you want to do things to please them. You find joy in then bringing pleasure to their heart. He said, you go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said unto the Lord, Lord, it's already done, as you said, but there's still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, you go out into the highways and hedges and you compel them to come in that my house may be filled. So the Lord's called us. I want to encourage you today, get a target. And first of all, you know, family and loved ones. I mean, how hard is it to invite somebody to church? You don't have to get all super self-righteous and spiritual and say, hey, you got to come to our church. Man, it's just, it's so exciting. There's so much happening. Man, I just want to tell you, it is not like the church I grew up in. It's really cool. You know, you can dress however you want. You know, we've got rich and poor, black, white, red, yellow, brown. It's like a United Nations. You know, it's just, it's great. And there's joy, and they clap their hands. It's just, there's a freedom. Nobody's not, they're looking around, you know, to see what everybody's wearing. And, you know, it's just not like that at all. You invite them, come. We've got some things happening. I want you tell them about, you know, VBS. Tell them, man, I've never seen a production like this for kids. They just go all out because they love kids. I mean, talk to people that have kids. Talk to people that have families, people that are going through marital problems. You know what I mean? There's all these ministries. But talk to your loved ones. Talk to your family. They're going to, you know, if you're fired up about it, you know they're going to catch that. You know, if you really love Jesus and are excited about Jesus, it's catching. If you're excited about church, it's catching. If it's like a drudgery to you, then, you know, they're not going to be excited. You know, talk to friends and coworkers. Talk to your boss. Talk to sporadic attenders. People, you know, you haven't seen for a while. You hit a target. The needy. People with problems. A widow that lost her husband or someone lost their wife. People that are discouraged, that are lonely, that are vulnerable. People that went through a divorce. Man, there's kids everywhere. You know, have them come. Bring them. Have them come to VBS. People that have been ill or infirmed. Elderly. Someone has lost their job or going through a financial problem. You know, whoever God puts on your heart, they're every place you look. You can just about stand anywhere and throw a stone, you're going to hit somebody who has a need. Those that are in your weekly routine, where you go someplace. Maybe it's a receptionist in a building where you work. Maybe it's the clerk at the 7-Eleven store that you see all the time, or the checkout lady. Maybe it's your yard man. Maybe it's the pool guy. Maybe, you know, it's your garbage man or your mailman. It's not funny. I share with my mailman all the time. Just share with him, man. Tell him what's going on. He rides a motorcycle. I'm going to get him into this fun run. And then he told me the other day, he said, hey, I knew another guy goes to your church. He rides a motorcycle. He lives over there. I said, oh, yeah, that's probably Barry Wood. Yeah, that's what his name was. Garbage men. And I give them water, do whatever I can, you know, just identify with them. Christmas time, I'll give them a little bonus, just a little $10. How many people do you think give the garbage guys $10 at Christmas time? And so, for one thing, they're not going to dump your garbage all over the street when they pick it up from now on. They say, that's the guy that gave us all $10, you know? So maybe it cost you $30, you know? But what do you think they're going to remember? And having an opportunity then just to share, you know, and when do you understand? You're sowing seeds. You know, the same thing with the yard guy. You know, minister to him. Do things. I give tip to the mailman at Christmas time. Give him a little something. Doesn't have to be a whole lot. Just a little bit. We're planting seeds. And that there's people everywhere just that are in your daily routine. You know, some repairman that comes in your house, you know. He came in to repair your toilet and God ended up repairing his heart. there's opportunities to share. Just start talking. Just bring it up. It's just so easy to do that. 34 million people said they'd come to church if they were invited to come. You're bound to bump into one of them sooner or later. So it was love that compelled him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want us to get hold of this. It was God's love that compelled him to die for us. When I first had my experience with the Lord, God made it so clear to me. Don't ever doubt my love for you. What more could I have done to show you how much I loved you than to die for you and to suffer like I did? Don't ever doubt it. I want you to know today, and it needs to be fresh in your heart, oh, how he loves you.